Right, here we go. This morning's scripture reading is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 to 20. The exhortation to choose life. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us, so that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall certainly perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. This is the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Merciful God, as this choice is before us today, we pray that your Spirit will lead us. Open our hearts, open our minds to receive your message this morning so that we can make the right choices in life, choices that lead to life. We pray that you will bless us now with your word. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So they say that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I don't know, but I think it's kind of like an insult, even to the dog, you know. And during this Lenten season, which started this past Wednesday, by the way, I'm going to constantly remind you that it's not too late. It's not too late to overcome a struggle. It's not too late to heal a relationship. It's not too late to say, "I'm really, really sorry." It's not too late for the world to be different. And what we talked about on Ash Wednesday, it's not too late for a change of heart. Because change is actually possible. And through Jesus, we are assured that it's not too late to change, because God does not give up on us, ever. God keeps calling us to turn around and to come home. And if he's not giving up on us, why then should we give up on ourselves? So I want to take a moment and ask you to think about the last big choice you had to make. Maybe it was a choice between something clearly good and something clearly bad. And those are usually the easy ones, right? Even though they require some backbone. Or maybe you had to choose between two goods, which is much more complicated. Today, you know, we find ourselves standing on the edge of a new season. It's the season of Lent. And as we stand here, we have these words of Moses about a decision. Words that ring out across the centuries, really. says, I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life. And it sounds so simple, doesn't it? It's like a sacred menu. Life, death, blessing, curses. Pick life, pick blessing. But we know that in the messiness of our daily lives, choosing life isn't a one-time box we check, you know, and that's it. It is persistent. It's a daily intention. It's what Eugene Peterson called a long obedience in the same direction. It's the choice to keep turning your face back toward the light, even when you've spent the night in the dark. And so Moses says to the people, this command I give you today is not too hard for you. It's not beyond what you can do. It's not up in heaven. You don't have to ask, you know, who will go up to heaven and get it for us so we can obey it. It's not on the other side of the sea. You don't have to ask, you know, who will go across the sea and get it. Who will tell us so we can keep it? No. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart, so you may obey it. He says God's commandment isn't too difficult. It's not out of reach. You don't have to go up to heaven to get it. You don't have to cross the sea to get it, to find it. No, the word is very near to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. You see, the truth is God is not playing hide and seek with us. God is near. God is as close to you as you want him to be. You might move away from God, but God never moves away from you. And when we feel like God is distant, or when we've distanced ourselves from God through our own choices, we tend to do what the Israelites did in the wilderness. We get anxious. And we look for something tangible. I don't know if you remember the story of the golden calf. Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive God's commandments. And it says in Exodus, after the people saw that Moses had been on the mountain for a long time, they went to Aaron and said, make us an image of a God who will lead and protect us. Moses brought us out of Egypt, but nobody knows what has happened to him. And Aaron took their golden earrings and melted them and made an idol in the shape of a golden calf. So when God feels absent or silent, we tend to create our own golden calves to fill the void of spiritual anxiety. I mean, look for things that are tangible and immediate and easy to see. And we turn to these modern substitutes for comfort and control and certainty. And I'm going to share or point a few of them out to you. And I just want you to honestly reflect on your own life and see how many of these ring true for you, okay? There's the idol of productivity and workaholism. Like when we feel, you know, God is distant, we try to prove our worth through constant busyness. We treat our to-do lists as a source of salvation. We become messiahs of our own making, you know, believing that if we stop working, everything will fall. The Israelites built the golden calf because they couldn't handle the silence of Moses being up on the mountain. And I think we do the same, but we do it without devices. When we feel a twinge of loneliness or spiritual emptiness, we reach for our phones. We use social media, news cycles, endless scrolling to drown out, you know, the still small voice of God that requires us to actually be still, to wait. And so one of the things, you know, I'm trying to do this Lent is to give up, avoid social media. Or when life feels chaotic, we often cling to rigid ideologies or the need to be right rather than being faithful. We prioritize being right in an argument or a system of belief over being loving or wise or humble or just. We create a God that mirrors our own opinions, and we use it as a shield against the vulnerability that God requires of us. Or when we are overwhelmed by the weight of our sin or disappointment, we often look to physical acquisitions to provide a sense of blessing. We cling to financial security or social status, or, you know, as if this is the ultimate evidence of God's favor. And when God feels absent, we bow down to the golden calf of the American dream, believing that physical comfort is the same as spiritual wholeness. Or when we don't feel that intimacy, you know, with God, we seek it in destructive places, false sources of intimacy. So we attach ourselves to unhealthy relationships or habits that provide a temporary fix for our heart's deep longing, rather than doing the hard work of returning to God with our raw feelings and anger and bitterness. So let me read to you this verse again about choosing life, but this time I want to read it to you from the Common English Bible translation. And it says, "I've set life and death and blessing and curse before you. Now choose life so that you and your descendants will live by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by clinging to him." It says, "and by clinging to him." And I think that's a beautiful word for our relationship with the true God. It says we call to cling to him. I mean, think of a child clinging to a parent's leg in a crowded room. That child isn't clinging because they're following a set of rules. They're clinging because they know that is where their safety is. That is where their life is. And so listen, life for us, okay, is not clinging to the idols we create. Life comes by loving the Lord our God, by obeying his voice, and by clinging to him. Not the golden calves of our own making. So an important part of Lent is the practice of self-examination. Because Lent invites us to slow down and to listen for God's voice and to let God see us fully for who we are, so that we might also see ourselves more truthfully. And so I want to invite you into a period of looking inward. And by the way, to look inward, I mean, it takes honesty. Otherwise, what's the purpose? It takes vulnerability. And self-examination, by the way, is difficult. It's hard, with some hard questions. So let me ask you, you know, where do you feel stuck? Where have you found yourself saying, it's too late for me to change? Where are you feeling pulled into resignation or despair? Or what is not life-giving? What choices are you making that's hurting you or hurting others? Where do you need to choose life instead of death and blessing instead of curse? And if you feel trapped by your choices today, I want you to hear this again. It's not too late. The prophet Joel reminds us that God says, "Return to me with all your heart." Our lives are really a a series of returns. We falter, yeah, we stray, yes. We get distracted by the noise, and then we hear that still small voice calling us back to the life-giving path. So how do we discern that voice? How do we know it's God nudging us and not our own ego? Well, ask yourself, is this choice life-giving? Does it promote wholeness for me, for my family, for my neighbor? Or is it death-dealing? Align your choices with Scripture. Talk to trusted friends. And a very important thing you can do is to practice this thing called the examine. You look back at your day to see where God was moving. And last week I shared with you a practice called Lectio Divina, you know, a way of reading the Bible devotionally and being open to what God, the Holy Spirit, is trying to say to you. So let me tell you a little bit more about the daily examen. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, developed it 500 years ago. It's a technique of prayerful reflection on the events of the day in order to detect God's presence and discern God's direction for you. And it's a spiritual practice that can help you cling to God and listen for the life-giving path. And so you start by settling into a quiet space and become aware of God's presence. And you ask the Holy Spirit to help you look at your day with clarity and love, and not with anxiety or judgment. And you remind yourself that God is near you. God is already present in your memories. And then you review the day, you walk through your day hour by hour. You review it, very importantly, with gratitude. With gratitude. You look for the small gifts. Maybe it's a good cup of coffee. Maybe it's a kind word from a colleague. Or maybe it's just a moment of peace. Because gratitude is the foundation of the examen, because it helps you recognize that blessings are often hidden in the mundane. And the third step is you pay attention to your emotions. And this is really the heart of the practice, because Ignatius believed that God often speaks to us through our feelings. So you reflect on the moments where you felt consolation, where you had feelings of peace and hope, or love, or being life-giving. Because these moments often signal where you were clinging to God. And you also reflect on feelings of desolation, feelings of anxiety, feelings that drain you, anger or death-dealing energy. Because these moments often show where you might have been bowing down to the other gods, like maybe perfectionism or fear. And then you choose one feature of the day, and you pray from it. You select one specific moment from your day. It may be a high point, or it may be a really, really low point, but something that feels significant. And you talk to God about it as you would talk to a friend. If it was a failure, ask for healing. If it was a success, give thanks. And then finally, you look ahead to the next 24 hours. Where do you feel stuck? And you ask God to give you the grace to choose life in the specific challenges that you know are coming. And you end with a prayer of trust to signify your long obedience in the same direction. And this practice is powerful because it moves faith, you know, from an abstract concept into a lived reality. When you practice it daily, you begin to notice certain patterns. You start to see which choices lead to wholeness and which lead to adversity. And you're able to discern better and makes it easier to choose life. And when we choose life, even in the small and quiet ways, we participate in God's counter-narrative to a world that often chooses fear and destruction. And we show the world that there is another way. In the midst of the chaos of our lives, remember that God doesn't demand that you be right or perfect every single time. God just asks you to be faithful. God asks that you be loving, that you be wise, that you be just. And so this week when you find yourself at a crossroads, whether it's a choice of what to say in a heated moment, or how to spend your time, or how to treat a stranger, remember that the choice for life is right there in your heart, and that God is near. And the invitation is open. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Choose to cling to the one who's never let go of you, because it's never too late. Change is possible, and it's never too late to choose life. Amen. Lord our God, thank you for choices. Thank you for the freedom to make choices. But we know that so often we choose the wrong thing. Instead of choosing life, we choose death. Instead of blessings, we choose curses. May your Spirit truly empower us to take a long and hard look at ourselves over these next few weeks. May you affirm within us the knowledge that, yes, change is possible. It's never too late. And may your Spirit especially enable us and empower us to choose life, to be able to discern the difference, and instead of death, to choose life. May we cling to you. We pray this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.